Good morning. I'm Thorne McGee, Editor-in-Chief of Target Marketing, and on behalf of everyone at our publication and of Turning Impressions, Retail, Online Integration, eMarketing and Commerce, and Direct Marketing IQ, all of whom had a hand in putting the show together, I'd like to welcome you to the 2012 Integrated Marketing Virtual Conference. Our opening keynote on integrated marketing strategy in the big picture is sponsored by Xerox. We'll be hearing from Forrester Senior Analyst Robert Brosnan, who's an expert in customer intelligence, campaign management, and understanding consumer media habits. And in just a few minutes, he'll talk about the changing marketing media landscape and how to build a better, more informed multi-channel strategy to reach your customers and prospects. Afterwards, he'll be answering some of your questions in a live chat in the networking lobby, so be sure to check that out after the keynote's over. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the best of this session. First, if you have any technical issues, please try troubleshooting by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all the widgets and bells and whistles of this console. And check out the Tips for Attendees widget, these widget, to learn how you can customize your viewing experience today. Finally, if you leave this session at any time or would like to view it again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months for you to come back and listen whenever you want, beginning on Monday, August 20th. And now, without further ado, please welcome Robert Brosnan.
Okay, thanks, Thorne, and thanks to everyone for attending today. It's my pleasure to really have the opportunity to speak to you on this topic of what integrated marketing strategy really means today and what the big picture really is. Let's kick off with just sort of a level set in terms of what we see at Forrester in terms of the differences between firms today, what really drives competitive advantage. If you rewind the clock back to the beginning of the 20th century, you really see that firms that dominated then, say Ford or GE or P&G, were firms that controlled the manufacturing process and optimized the manufacturing process to become a powerhouse. If you keep going forward into, say, the latter half of the 20th century, you see that firms that dominated then, a prime example being, say, Toyota, of a firm that was able to dominate because of its ability to control the supply chain. Moving forward into the 90s, right, we see a firm like Walmart or Amazon.com being able to control information to their advantage. But today we see a very different kind of process dominating, right? Today we say it's the age of the customer at Forrester, and why is that? It's because firms that develop an intimate relationship with their customers, that learn how to dominate on the basis of being able to serve customers on their knowledge, are ones that really truly succeed. So think about a company like Facebook or Harrah's Entertainment or Apple. The big difference here is that not just that each of these ages is accelerating in a sense, but that internally, in the first three phases of the graph that you see here, many of those processes were really internally focused. Right? When we think about what it means to dominate in this age, it's really thinking about trying to build processes around an external focus and to control many things that are far outside of your reach in many cases. And this is made even more difficult today because of this funny little statistic. Eric Schmidt, when he was the CEO of Google back in 2010, said that in fact, we produce as much information every 2 days as we did from the dawn of human history through the beginning of 2003. So think about that. Every 2 days, we're producing as much information as we did in hundreds and hundreds of years of human culture. And so that makes it easy, right? If you're going to dominate based on your ability to control and understand customer knowledge, all you have to do is master this little conundrum here of dealing with all the data that comes in. So what are some changes that we see out there in the marketplace today that you should be thinking about when you design out your integrated marketing strategy? The first, and perhaps one of the most important in this day and age, is thinking about what it means to have access to customers anymore. Right? It's not just, say, a marketing strategy that thinks about consistency across branded touch points, but increasingly, it's about addressing individual customers. So think about this little statistic. Customers are increasingly always addressable. What is an always addressable customer? It's a customer who goes online three or more times a day from multiple locations using at least three or more devices. Think about that. Three or more devices from multiple locations three or more times a day. What does that look like? Well, when we survey the full U.S. online population, about 37% of all online adults come out as increasingly always addressable. And that breaks down by age groups, as you might expect, right? So let's say Gen Z and Gen Y, 18 to 31, being the most addressable. But even look at that, on down to, say, my parents' generation, almost 10% of those individuals are always available to you, right, are always addressable by you with the media and the strategy that you put out there. So this is a huge change when we think about our access to customers. But let me sharpen this picture a little bit about what it means to have a new integrated marketing strategy. It's not only that customers are addressable to you, it's that where they interact with you is changing. And I certainly don't mean by physical location there. It's more this notion of what it means to engage with a customer around the point of purchase. So think about this little graphic here. Customers are increasingly interacting with you across multiple touch points well before and well after the point of purchase. These circles, in essence, are expansions around how far away is that customer from you at the point of purchase, and how hard is it for them to reach them? In essence, how much money do you have to spend? And what are those channels? So think about this. Customers are moving through that outer circle when they're going through an initial discovery and research phase, then getting closer and closer as they come to the point of purchase, engaging with that product, and then at the innermost circle where it's easiest for you. In fact, in many cases, customers are using social media to interact directly with you. In those cases, at this point, we've developed trust and evangelizing to friends. The interesting thing about this graphic is that it doesn't look like a traditional funnel, does it? In fact, customers are looping around, moving backwards and forwards. If anything, the graphic sort of underrepresents how nonlinear this process really is as we go forward. So think about the fact that it's not only that you need to be addressing customers individually at different points during the day, you have to think in an interaction at what phase or what part of the circle, in essence, are they when they come and interact with us. It's no longer just about acquisition. It's also about customer engagement across multiple phases of interaction. And as I mentioned, a key enabler of this capability has been social media. What you see here on the screen is Forrester's social technographics ladder. And what technographics really is, just to kind of break it down quickly, is a measurement of how engaged or what types of activities do adults actually engage with. Consumers can actually end up in multiple buckets. They can be, say, an inactive, right, where they don't actually participate in, say, social networks at all. Or they could be a spectator and, say, a collector. A spectator is an individual who actually partially participates and really observes what happens and, say, reads ratings and reviews on a website or might monitor what their friends are doing in, say, Facebook. Then on up through, say, a collector is someone who uses, say, RSS feeds and Pinterest and other services like that to actually collect information out on the web. On up to, at the top, say, a creator who is, in fact, deeply engaged with creating blogs content or creating videos and uploading them to YouTube or using Flickr or Instagram to actually share their photos with their friends. The most interesting piece about this individual technographics ladder is that the only group has grown smaller over the last several years is that bottom group, the inactives. As customers engage more and more over the years, they're moving further and further up the ladder and engaging at multiple points. It's only the inactive group that's actually shrinking in this particular graphic. The Internet itself, though, is also changing, right? So think about what we've done so far. We've talked about how customers are increasingly addressable, that they're engaging at more points of engagement across the purchase funnel. But, in fact, the Internet itself is changing quite rapidly. It's no longer primarily a desktop-based experience through a web browser. In fact, you likely, if you're anything like me at all, you've probably got multiple devices actually sitting in front of you or right around you at this point in time. In fact, Forrester has surveyed this group and predicts that by 2016, a third of U.S. adults will actually own a tablet. So think about that. That kind of engagement, this sort of couch commerce, if you like that particular type of term, or if you think about the types of ways that customers use tablets to engage, it's a very different type of experience It's far more intimate. It's far more engaged. It uses not only the traditional, in essence, digital media that we're used to, say email and the web, but increasingly app-based experiences as well. When we survey marketers about this type of media, we find that they really place a greater trust in interactive media overall. So if you think about the segments that you see here in terms of the types of media that are used, marketers place greater faith over time in these types of interactive media, primarily because of their ability to measure the effectiveness of that media. It does not mean, say, that television or direct mail or magazine spending is going to disappear anytime soon. In fact, those media are still quite important to most marketers, even in an integrated marketing strategy. But it's those interactive channels that are starting to dominate in many media plans because of the ability to engage with individual consumers directly and to measure the effectiveness on other parts of the cycle. So we have customers who are increasingly always addressable. We have them engaging at multiple points in and around the point of purchase. We have them engaging more with other types of interactive media and newer forms of devices out there. And that leads us to this point again about the fact that it's the data conundrum that's driving so much of the trouble we have in creating and executing on an integrated media strategy. So late last year, I went out and surveyed marketers about this particular issue, and we found that virtually half of all marketers that responded to us told us that it was really the struggle to unify customer data that was their biggest challenge. Oops, let me go back there just real quick. It didn't quite come up quickly. So it's fully half of all marketers who struggle to pull all the customer data together from different channels and different sources across the organization to actually unify that into a single view of the customer. So what should you do? How should you proceed in order to create a new unified integrated marketing strategy to move forward? Well, I'll make the argument that there are four key elements of the roadmap. First and foremost is the organizational culture, the customer data, third, comprehensive technology, and fourth, centralized processes. So let's go down this road. Let's talk a little bit about each of these swim lanes, and let's look at some examples of who shows up in each of the particular categories. So first and foremost, let's talk about organizational culture there. Many of you, I suspect, are familiar with the company Zynga, makers of some popular games there, right? If anything like me, you often lose your loved ones at night to Zynga as they just bury themselves in their tablets and iPhones. And play many of Zynga's games there. I think what's most interesting about Zynga is what they have brought out in terms of company culture. Last year or earlier this year when they filed their S-1 to go public, they said some very interesting things, and you might think that's a little strange to look at an S-1 statement there to look for what the culture is inside of an organization itself. But the first and foremost thing I want to point out in here is a section where they titled it Games Should Be Data-Driven. Now, this is interesting in the world that we live in, right? This kind of notion that we are increasingly combining the creative with the analytical, right? And they're using player feedback in order to improve the games themselves. So that is interesting, but what's even more important is a little bit further down in the document, right? Now, look at this. It's pretty amazing, right? They say they serve and process more than a petabyte of content every single day. But look at the last statement there. We believe that combining data analytics with creative game design enables us to create a better player experience. So pulling these two together, the creative and the analytical, are what are differentiating Zynga today from many of its competitors there. And it's so important to them that they are willing to put it out there to prospective investors to help explain what makes Zynga as a different kind of company. So what should you take from Zynga? It's time to build out a customer-oriented culture inside your organization. And this needs to start from the top, although you can push it from below, right? It's not so much that you have to hire the right executives and have them push and wait for them to push the right strategy across the organization. Look at figuring out how to build out strategies, products, or more importantly, experiences that really start to put the customer at the core of the business. Think about that again, what Zynga was saying in terms of their analytics and their game design really focusing on the player experience there. Drive customer obsession from the top of the company. Right? So in the best firms that are out there today, those that we look for insight for and to be able to communicate back to you, we see that most of the time what they really have is an executive at the top of the company who is driving change towards customer, helping their firms to evolve from a purely product or channel-centric strategy towards one that looks at customers and the types of experience they should have from acquisition through onboarding into renewal and engagement and even win-back strategies. What should that look like for an individual customer rather than for a product itself? And I think probably the most important thing that we could take away from Zynga is the notion that we really truly need a test-and-learn culture all the way through. And, you know, out there in the marketplace today, you can certainly find a number of tools that are really focused around this idea of building out capabilities for individual testing or multivariate testing, A-B testing. But the truth of the matter is that it needs to permeate all aspects of the organization. We so often rely upon our expertise or our experience to guide us in individual situations, to look forward to what the highest paid person in the room's opinion might be in order to make decisions as we move forward. But when you think about building out a strategy and individual programs and tactics, think about where you can build the opportunity to test and learn at each stage. Do you truly know what your customers need and where they need to move through the product or the customer lifecycle in new ways? How can you position one touch point against another in a complementary fashion rather than replicating within each touch point every single feature or functionality or message? I mean, think back to the stats that we've looked back at so far about how individual customers move through different media and engage at different points and have experiences at different touch points that really that drive them to engage with your business. So think about building out that test and learn culture and how it can drive change inside of your organization. Customer data. The key to any truly advanced organization today in the age of the customer is one that collects, integrates, analyzes, and uses, acts on customer insight that's driven from data. Of course, when you think about customer data, I think probably the first image that would pop up in your mind is this, that of the experience of engaging with a concierge. Well, maybe not. Maybe that's not exactly what customer data says to you. What I think is so interesting about this image or this notion of a concierge is that consumers consistently cite the experience of a concierge at a hotel as being the best experience they typically have of engaging with any type of firm. And why is that? Well, it's really a concierge who listens and pays attention to you and then guides the individual recommendations or actions that they take based on that experience of engaging with you directly, right? They listen very carefully and respond directly to what your challenges actually are. If you think about a company that has done so well with this particular type of idea, it's truly Apple, right? Apple has, in fact, modeled their in-store experience on the idea of delivering concierge-like services in their stores. Their Genius Bar is modeled directly on this concept of a concierge desk. In fact, the software that they use behind the scenes to schedule appointments at the Genius Bar is named Concierge. So there's a great example of a company that's really taken this notion to heart, even though much of how they interact with their customers is increasingly digital. Another company that we can look at for guidance in this particular area is IHG. All right, so the Intercontinental Hotel Group, very strong brand in terms of the individual hotel chains that they have out there. They've thought very carefully about how they replicate this experience of the concierge into other channels, right, and to think about how they can integrate around this notion of serving their customers. Well, how did they do it? They built out a true roadmap for CRM on this notion of preference and permission to engage with their customers. So the first phase was to truly build out an enterprise-wide database that could collect customer data and interactions from all of their touch points. They phased this out, of course. It's not that you have to have it all built out completely on day one, but they built out a new type of data warehouse that enabled them to create this single view of a customer across all their channels and their brands. On top of that database, they built a real-time marketing automation system, right? One that was able to respond to customer data as it was flowing in, to detect and act on triggers as that data entered the system, and to respond with personal messages to each and every customer as they engaged. Now, that also went across multiple channels. It is not purely a digital marketing automation suite. It's one that also connects in to billing and contact centers. It uses print media quite effectively as you engage with individual customers. So think about that marketing automation capability in terms of real time, not just as purely digital, but spanning across any touch point or any channel that they engage with customers. The third phase of this is to really think very carefully about how they integrate with another type of channel, right? So instead of thinking about them purely as marketing communications channels, to think about their channels of service and support and sales across the world. So they integrated the enterprise database and the marketing automation system with their guest and task management systems so that when you walk up to a desk, those individuals who are there responding to you can make use of the most recent interactions you've had with their brands and the way that you've responded and your preferences in the past so that you can have truly a concierge experience across any of the touch points that they have, not just marketing related, but also sales and support. So what should we take from IHG? Well, in the customer data arena, one of the things that they did so well was they hired customer strategists. And what's a customer strategist? It's not just someone who's good with math or good with statistics, right? It's someone who blends this notion of analytical savvy with true business understanding. So instead of thinking of analytics as an offline activity where data is sent off to an insights, a customer insights group, and then is routed back after, say, 3 months with a new targeting model, say, or a new offer model, instead, these customer strategists were in line with various business processes. So as marketing managers, as brand managers began to plan out activities and plan out campaigns, those customer strategists were there to help guide those efforts all the way through the planning cycle into the design of campaigns and their execution. But it really is someone who can speak to both sides, someone who has some experience on the analytical side with a really strong sense of business understanding and an entrepreneurial attitude to help drive the business in new ways. Those customer strategists are key because they connect various parts of the organization that are touching customer data, from IT through marketing technologists on up to the executives who need to make use of data, and they help build a customer data strategy around the notions of collecting, connecting, updating, and analyzing that single view of the customer. In many ways, right, it's not so sexy or fun to think about building out a customer data strategy, but the processes that are there of identifying customers across channels, of cleansing that data, of regularly deduping and enhancing the data from third-party sources are critical to create this single view of the customer. Now, in many cases here, we're talking about things that sound quite hard, right, in terms of hard data, right, thinking about behavioral data that may come off the website or transactions or other types of quantitative data that we have, but that's not the full story. In many cases, what quantitative data will do is tell us what happened, but we need to augment that with qualitative data, the true understanding of why it happened or what the customer felt when they went through a particular process. So it's important in this data strategy to be thinking not only about how we bring together and integrate and cleanse quantitative data, but augment that with qualitative data. And that can be a key foundation for building out a modern form of conversational or dialogue-based marketing across channels as you, say, allow a campaign to pause and ask for a response before you move forward. Integrating surveys or other types of addressable market insights data so that you understand what types of messages, how they should be timed, what a channel preference for a customer is. All of that can come from the qualitative efforts that you have or market insights efforts that you actually have. Key to IHG as well is this notion of defining and agreeing upon metrics. I talked to so many customers who have individual KPIs or key performance indicators for each and every channel or KPIs that don't agree from campaign to campaign, and that makes it difficult to really get to this single version of the truth, right? So we've talked a lot about how customer data needs to be integrated to create this single view of that customer, but in the end, marketing needs to have a similar sort of approach in terms of how it evaluates the performance and the efficiency of campaigns that it puts out there. So it's very difficult, but it's an important piece to have this conversation inside the organization around how we define and agree upon success metrics, as well as those that indicate that the performance is maybe trending in the wrong direction as well. The third area I want to talk about is how we start to centralize processes. You can imagine if we're starting to build out this integrated marketing strategy, we need to think about how we start to cut through the various barriers that exist or organizational silos that exist inside our organizations in order to truly create this integrated marketing strategy. It's not enough to think about timing or at least having or sharing a centralized plan. We actually have to think about how we build and share media, strategic plans, data, and other parts or artifacts of the marketing process itself. A company that I really like to think about in this particular context is Newell Rubbermaid. Now, Newell Rubbermaid is a manufacturer often doesn't actually have access to their customers, right? Often it's through resellers or other big box chains that are actually distributing their products directly to customers. And so Newell Rubbermaid, you might think, it is not a great example of a company that should be held up as one who has an integrated marketing strategy built off customer data. But in fact, they've worked through digital media in order to connect directly with their customers and then build a multi-channel strategy around customer life cycles and really start to change the way they think about their products. So how does this work? Well, Rubbermaid is not just responsible for the individual little containers, Rubbermaid containers you might have inside your refrigerator. Often many of mine end up in the recycle bin because I'm not such a good I'm not so good at cleaning back up after they've been in the fridge for a while. But it's not just sort of a low consideration product like a container, but Rubbermaid actually manages brands that have a high consideration or a long product adoption cycle associated with them, say Levalore blinds or Calphalon cookware, or one that invites a lot of scrutiny, say their Graco baby products line. I spoke with many people at Newell Rubbermaid last year in doing some research, and one of the things that struck me is this response they gave me to why they were engaging so heavily in integrated marketing strategy, and that was this notion that because our products are so complex, no one else is able to bridge the gap between the in-store and the online experience. Yet as the supplier, we have to. Think about that, right? These products invite a lot of scrutiny and research, particularly when you think about either a high-cost product like the blinds or the cookware, or a product that really needs a lot of scrutiny around its safety and its applicability to individual lifestyles, like the Graco baby product line. Those products require increasingly a good bit of research from customers as they begin to think about what types of products are important for them, or they discover new applications of those individual products. And that happens well before the individual customer shows up in the store, and often happens well after they've left in terms of making a purchase. And so Rubbermaid has taken this on as a task of theirs to bridge that experience between the purchase experience and the research and then the evangelization experience. So they've taken an integrated strategy not just to their marketing channels, but to the experiences that customers have around their individual products. So what can we learn from them in terms of this notion of centralized processes? Well, the first point is they spent a lot of time thinking about how they tear down the walls between their organizational groups. Rubbermaid, when they began this process, looked a lot like a traditional manufacturer organized around brands and individual product lines, and thought very carefully about how they could, as a manufacturer, create new products based on their own understanding of what was possible. Instead, Rubbermaid has empowered a group that ranges across brands and product lines, a kind of marketing technology office, that really thinks about evangelizing new uses of digital marketing technology to engage with customers across each of these brands and touch points. That group then helps individual brands understand how to create new products that fit customer needs or customer life cycles rather than just inventing a new product and then trying to find a customer to match to that. Part of how they've done that is by creating workflow tools that span the organization. So they use, say, marketing resource management tools or other types of collaboration tools, asset management, to create streamlined processes across different product groups, to think about how they can start to pair individual products together and create assets and experiences that match what customers are looking for. They've also created this notion I mentioned earlier of a marketing technology strategy office. And what does that group do? Well, we talked about evangelizing new uses of technology or new uses of marketing channels in ways that their individual brands hadn't thought of before. But they also play a role in planning out their technology strategy and understanding how they can expand or make new use of the marketing technology stack, as well as new uses of, say, even things like queries, right? How can we structure, say, a segmentation query in a new way to arrive at a much more defined audience segment to communicate with, particularly as they move forward in this vision of one-to-one communications with individual customers? So finally, let's talk about what the marketing technology strategy should really look like. And I think a great example of a comprehensive strategy is a firm like ING. ING, you may be familiar with in terms of being one of the leading banks in Europe. They range across multiple geographies in Europe and have multiple product lines that they push in front of their customers every day and think very carefully about how those experiences should be integrated and unified across, say, their website, their retail branches, the mobile applications that they offer, and other individual customer touch points. The way ING has done this is by thinking through the way that processes need to integrate across the organization. And they built a marketing technology platform that enables them to go through, say, processes as high level as, say, strategic planning or scenario analysis, on through the actual analysis of customer data, the use of predictive analytics and scoring models to understand what offers and what products are most appropriate for individual customers, then their ability to port that understanding into the campaign design environment, a multi-channel campaign design environment that enables them to think about not only who they should talk to, but what their experience or their paths, those customer paths across those touch points should look like, and building out this notion of, say, a dialogue or a conversation with the customer. And then deeply integrating the actual execution of those marketing campaigns into that technology stack. So it's not enough, in essence, to have good ETL or FTP processes to hand off a file from one location to another or from one vendor to another, but to have deeply integrated API-level integration so that as promotions are executed and the responses come back in, the campaigns can pivot or execute new tactics in real time. It's also important to really sort of put some stock into this notion of what a platform truly is. Right? It's not just enough to say that it's about integrating customer data and execution of campaigns, but it's also how we think about feeding data back into those at the beginning of the process, right? How we report on the basis of the platform, how we enable collaboration across different groups and workflow patterns across groups, either inside our organization or external to the organization, how you interact with, say, service organizations, agencies, or other suppliers, and how we administer that platform as a whole. In truth, it's time for marketing to really truly think of itself as enabled by technology across the organization itself. So what can we take from ING? It's important to create this notion of a unified marketing technology strategy. You know, in many cases, you'll still need to rely upon a point solution in many places to accomplish your work or to actually capture and manage individual workflows or processes. But it's important to see each of those as part of a unified technology strategy and to project that out over several years. Now, it's kind of crazy to think about having a technology strategy that might predict where you'll be in 3 years or even up to 5 years. But in doing so, you're not tied down to an individual strategy that takes you out so far. Technology does change. Your competitive landscape changes. Your customer landscape changes. But with a technology strategy that focuses on what your North Star should be, say an integrated marketing strategy across channels and across touch points, you're able to pivot as you need to implement new technologies or to focus on different integrations in order to accomplish your goal of looking forward to a future strategy. Think about investing in integrated tool sets, right? So cross-channel campaign management becomes an increasingly important part of this of the marketing technology stack, in essence a technology that can orchestrate and integrate across the different parts of the organization. I talked to a lot of marketers who are increasingly concerned about these new channels that are out there, say social as a way of engaging not just with individual customers to handle complaints, but how we can use social data to improve the targeting and the messaging that we have for individual customers. Mobile is increasingly important, as we've talked about. It's not just about being able to format emails appropriately for mobile devices or tablets. It's not just about having a mobile website and integrating the messaging across your other channels into that mobile site, but also increasingly about having an app strategy, thinking about what measurement of engagement inside the application and how you can push messages back into an app. ING, in fact, is a leader in thinking about how their mobile applications, which are very transactionally focused, can start to become a richer environment to think about positioning new types of messages and new types of engagement with their customers beyond just, say, checking balances or transferring funds. In the world that we live in, it's also increasingly important to think about the role of automation, and not just at, say, the campaign level or the message execution level, but to think about how it can be used to help target or manage decisions. In the fraction of the instant that you might have an individual looking at a given web page or looking at a given message, how can you use technology to take the cues that they've brought in, what websites they've come from, what their social context is, what their digital profile is, how they've interacted with you in offline channels, to bring all of that information together and to reshape messages as that consumer engages with you. So if it turns out that they're visiting your website or calling into the call center because they actually don't want to engage with you further, that they're thinking about a triding at that point, it's important for your systems to be able to respond in real time and to use that information to reformat the messages, the ways that you talk to that individual consumer, and the offers that you put in front of them in order to turn, a cross-sell event into a save event in real time. The other part of this is that underlying all of the technology that we have is a responsibility we have as marketers to think about how we're given permission by our customers to engage with them in new channels, and what their preferences really are, right? Not just explicit preferences in terms of how a customer has told you they want to engage with you, but inferring from their activities and their response history, what are the best channels to contact that customer with, and to make sure that you don't, in essence, burn out the customer by overwhelming them with an abundance of messages across multiple channels. So think very carefully about how the systems aren't just collecting, say, that hard quantitative data, but also giving you the ability to integrate, say, the permission and preferences that customers give you or tell you about, and use that to shape your marketing as time goes on. So how do you get started? Let's wrap this up with some concrete steps that you can take in order to move forward with an integrated marketing strategy. Let me just show you two things. Let's do some prescriptive stuff and then think about what it might look like when you share it with your executives or partners across the organization. So the first step would really be to take this notion of a roadmap to heart and think about how you can map out your strategy towards cross-channel relevance. You don't necessarily need to spend a lot of money or engage with a lot of high-priced consultants to make this happen. You can go into a conference room with some sticky notes or with some whiteboard markers and start to map out what you think your customer's journey should be, and think very carefully about all of the media that are actually there, all of the offline media, all of their touch points, the types of messages they would see as they go through, say, an onboarding process or as they go through a renewal process all of the messages that are presented to them across each of these channels and what the likely timing is. You know, in many cases, you need an analytic process to really tell you, is this the pathway that customers take? We've talked a lot about that today, but how they'll probably take a pathway that defies your expectations in many ways. But a good starting point is saying what you think the likely path is, and then thinking about what the integration is across those touch points, from data to technology to messaging to offers. So start to map that out. And you can do that with lots of different people. You can bring in different folks across the organization, bring in lunch, and have actually a good session where you really start to brainstorm what that process should really look like. I suspect you'll be kind of surprised when you realize how many individual messages a customer receives across those journeys. Once you have this map in place, you can start to think about where would we need to bring data together? How can we bring data into our print operations? How can we bring data from offline or, interactions into the online interaction? Think about what those opportunities are and how you might prioritize those integration points so that you can reshape or sharpen the messages that you do present to customers. With that understanding, you can start to think about coordinating the processes around customer intelligence. How can you turn data from its raw form into insight that enables, say, your marketing managers or campaign managers or brand managers to make better use of it? So build processes around that notion of inline customer intelligence to help shape the planning, the design, and the execution of these individual campaigns across channels. And then finally, thinking about unifying that marketing technology strategy over the long run. Start with what you have today and think about what technologies would be needed to supplement what you have and to eventually get to a fully unified technology strategy that's bringing data across different touch points in real time and optimizing those experiences so that customers have the right message at the right time in the right channel. What might this look like? Well, I encourage you to go back and think about forming out this strategy in these swim lanes that we've talked about today: culture, customer data, centralized processes, and comprehensive development. Chart it out over the course of, say, 3-month or 6-month intervals, what's appropriate for your business, and then put various projects onto the map in such a way that you can see how they might relate to one another. So perhaps you begin, say, with organizational alignment around this vision of an integrated marketing strategy. Again, it's not necessarily one that requires you to make big investments on day one, but to really start to gain that executive buy-in and to push change across the organization. And then see what would be needed in each of the other swim lanes as you start to implement this vision. Perhaps after you gain alignment around how the culture should be evolving, you should make hires in terms of, say, a customer strategist in order to push forward those centralized processes and to eventually enable new types of technologies coming on board, new types of data and analysis coming on board, and ultimately, say, arriving at a much more agile vision of what your organization can actually be. I think that if you see each of these, then you can start to break them back out into the individual steps that would be required and make it clear that that the organization can accomplish this in the time frame that you put forward in this roadmap. And with that, I'd like to say thank you, and I'll turn it back over to Thorne.
Thank you very much, Robert. On behalf of Target Marketing and Printing Impressions and our sponsor, Xerox, I want to thank all of you who attended today's keynote session. Robert and I will be hosting a little post-keynote chat in the networking lounge, so if you have any questions, please follow us there and post your questions with the hashtag #PoundKeynote, and we'll try to answer as many as we can in the next 15 minutes or so. And then make sure you check back here in at around 11:15, where the brilliant Devyani Saad will be talking, getting deeper into the next generation analytics and big data and how you can really implement some of these things that Robert's been talking about. Lastly, don't forget to take a look at the agenda for the rest of the day today. We have several wonderful sessions lined up even after Devyani's on, and we encourage you to view as many as you can. Remember, if you miss anything today, the on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting on Monday. Everyone, have a great day. I hope to see you in the chat.